We are talking about a beautiful life, and we're now going into, we've left the fruits of the Spirit. Now we're talking about that life being marked by different spiritual disciplines. And today we're going to talk about meditation. My parents believed with all their heart that the Beatles were one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They were convinced that this longer hair and the style of music and their bizarre clothes and the like were going to lead us into Armageddon. Now, I'm very glad that you can't see the future, because if my parents had been able to see the future of music, they would have exploded, and that would have been a terrible thing. But I can still remember when the Beatles went to India, and they found the Maharishi Yogi, and sat down and learned from him. Do you remember that, some of you? And how shocking it was for us to get these photos from the other side of the world, and they're dressed in odd clothes, and there's very hairy, strange-looking man sitting cross-legged, and they're talking to him, and they're supposed to be learning from him these great mysteries of the universe. That, and it even influenced their music, and it became somewhat of a scandal, but then it became a great interest to people. That's what most people think of when they think of meditation. They think of the Swami or the yogi type creation, sitting there cross-legged, telling people, maybe even doing this with his fingers, or the old Kung Fu Kwai Chi King thing, where they're meditating somehow, and that it's an Eastern religion thing. But the Bible speaks about meditation quite a bit. Take a look at Psalm 1, the first Psalm. We're going to read that together. If you don't have Bibles, just be aware that we have tables with Bibles on them in the back, and you may borrow one of those at any time. And yes, you may get up and go get one. This is a family. You're allowed to move about if you need to. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers, but not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, when I was a boy, especially when I was a teen, they would pull this out quite a bit, and we'd study the wicked guy. We didn't study the righteous guy. And they say, now notice it's a progression. First he's walking, then he stops and he stands, and then he's sitting with them. That may very well be true. But I tend to think that as you're watching this guy, it is merely that he is not focused on anything. He is able to be snared by whoever's talking and whatever is going on. He is just looking for the next thing. And he's able to be snared. But then there comes this other guy, the one who delights in the way of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. One is focused on nothing in particular. He's here, he's there. But Jesus speaks to us about being focused. In Matthew 6:22, now the NIV kind of strips the oddity and the power out of this passage, and I generally like the NIV, but it does this from time to time. In Matthew 6:22, as close to the original as we can get and still be understandable, Jesus said, if your eye is scattered, if you're looking at everything that's out there, your body will be full of darkness, because you're going to be too scattered. But then he says, if your eye is single, if you're focused, then your whole body will be full of light. The meditation that Scripture speaks of is that kind of focus. This man in Psalm 1 was focused on the law of God, and he thought about it day and night. That's why he would be successful, because he was focused on God. Therefore, did you notice? God was focused on him. God returned the favor, and therefore he said that he would prosper whatever he did. One listens to anything, the other meditates on the word of God. And as was read to us by Scott, Joshua was told, you want to lead these people? Then meditate on the law of the Lord. Never let it leave your mouth. Keep it there. In Deuteronomy 6, as he also read, write it on your heart. Put it in your house whenever you're standing, sitting, going, wherever you're doing. Keep the law of the Lord with you. That's meditation. Now, we have a problem here. And there's no way for me to talk about this without sounding like an old fogey. So, I'm going to go for it, all right? I love technology, and I love playing with technology, and it can be a lot of fun, and it can be a very great help. I would not want to live without cell phones anymore. I know some people say, oh, I wish we didn't have them. I'm so glad I can get in touch and know. Rather than, do you remember what your parents did? Pace constantly. Did they crash? Did they die? Did they crash? Did they die? Now we can call, and they said, we can tell, they can say, no, I didn't crash till you called me. And then I was fishing for the phone, but we have that ability now. And the youth rally yesterday at a break, I stepped out in the hallway where the teens were, and you know where this is going. Almost every teen I saw was on the phone, texting. I don't know why we have speakers, but texting is what they were doing. They may have been texting each other. I've got to stress, there is no sin in this. This is not an evil thing. But they don't just have these. They've also got iPods. I can remember when my kids gave me, for Father's Day, an MP3 player. And they said, this can hold like 20,000 songs. And I was going, that's cool, but I don't know 20,000 songs. And they said, but you can learn new songs. And I said, no, you can't. No, you can't. Maybe I could find a lot of varieties of covers of the 23 songs I do remember. You know, I'm not really sure how we can do this. Now, the earphones go in there. You've got the DVD players going up. You've got the multitasking. They're texting. And we can go, oh, isn't this horrible? No, not necessarily. But there is a danger. Because if you're listening to all of this, you are cut off from the focus on God. And you're cut off from receiving wisdom from the family, wisdom from those around you. You're cut off. And if there is no downtime for these things, then you've got a problem. And some of you found this out. You've tried to call my cell phone at 7 in the morning or 11 o'clock at night, and it hasn't. We have a house phone. You can call that one. We may answer it. We may see who it is and not. But we turn off the cell phones at a certain time. And we do not turn them on until a certain time in the day. And we turn off computers at a certain time. And the reason we do all of this is because there needs to be a disconnected time where you can focus on something else. And focus on God. That's the beginning of meditation. That focus. There are two Hebrew words for meditation in Scripture. And they mean pretty much the same thing. One means to utter softly. Somewhat like you would say the name of somebody you love, to consider, to ponder. The other means to spend time with a thought or to murmur. Now, we have two different words for murmur in Scripture, but they're both translated murmur. There's a good murmur and a bad murmur. In fact, in one form of murmuring in Scripture, you will be lost and God kills a bunch of people. That's it. I don't like that person. And I just, look at them all high and holy. And just that type. And who's Moses think he is to tell us? That type of murmuring God hates, and he's killed a bunch of people over it. But there's a good murmuring. And that is where you put a thought into your head from God, a part of Scripture, and you go over it again and again and again and again. Now, a few of you, no more than a few of you, have ever gone through this, I'm sure. This is not one of our standard disciplines in the Western Church. But if you ever go to a spiritual retreat that's run by Eastern Christians, sometimes what they will do is assign you a verse, maybe three verses. And that's your job all day long for 4 or 5 days, is to meditate on that little passage. Most Christians get dead bored after about 15 minutes. I got it. I read it. I know what it means. What do you want me to do with the rest of my day? Keep focusing. And it normally is about day 3 when they begin to actually learn stuff from the passage. Because they've stuck with it, and all of a sudden the passage begins to teach them things. In contrast with what the Beatles were doing in India, Eastern meditation says, empty your mind. For some of you, it's not a hard job. Yeah. Empty your mind. The Bible didn't say that. I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize. But empty your mind, become one with the universe, and allow yourself to experience part of being one with everything. I'm not going to ever be one with everything. There are a lot of things out there I don't want to be one with. All right? And I'm not just talking about toads and, things like this. I'm talking about there are entities in the universe, and I'm not going to open the doors and say, y'all come. Right? You're proud of that? I said, y'all come. That was great, wasn't it? I'm learning the lingo. I'm not going to say any thought that wants to hop right on in. The scriptures doesn't say meditation is emptying your mind. The scripture says meditation is filling it with a very, very, very specific thought of the Word of God. Now, it does several things for you. If you're wondering, well, why meditate? And I want to stop right there and just give a little warning cry. Anytime that God tells us to do something and we think, well, why should we do that? That's a problem. God says, do it, and then you can think about the benefits that you get from it. I've had people say, what are the benefits of fasting? First of all, God said, do it. So do it. Secondly, we can look at benefits. And we're going to do that, actually, in a couple of weeks. With meditation, just do it because he said to do it. But there are benefits to this. It does help us develop a peace that we don't otherwise have. If you haven't noticed, the world's in your head. It's always there. My wife saved my life several years ago by giving me an XM radio. Because I drive a lot. And if you have to drive a lot and just listen to whatever's on the radio, you'll die. Or you will drive into something on purpose. You will. And I've heard some people say, well, I like to listen to sermons. You know, I really appreciate that. But there aren't a whole lot of carpenters, for example, that listen to stories about how to make chairs on their off days. So I don't listen to a lot of sermons. Instead, I'll listen to books or I'll listen to this. But even then, she's ridden with me. Every time a commercial comes on, I hit the mute. You know, sometimes you hit the mute and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is nice. There's no noise. And then you wonder, well, why am I listening? And then you think, because I have to. I have a radio. It's required. Something might happen. The plane. You see, I wasn't listening on Saturday at all. A plane crashed in Russia. Might have been my fault. I should have been listening. You know, you think of that. Where was I? How did I not know this? Well, the world's in your head. There is nothing wrong with your iPod and your phone and your texting. I'm not one of those people. What I am saying is this, though. You got to get some time where you can hear God, which means there's got to be some not world time. You have to build that in. And you might say, well, I do build that in. I've got this half hour slot. You know, that's brilliant. And thank you for doing that. That's really, really good. But you might not want to limit it like that. You might want to go as long as God wants to take you in the thought. And it might be more than a half hour. My wife knows that I have a different way of studying for sermons. That's a shocker, I know. But I gather information, sometimes for months and months and months. And then as we get closer to it, I start shifting it around in my head. And I'm just thinking about it. And I'm just moving bits and pieces around. And I'm throwing bits out and trying to rearrange others. And I tell her, I'm looking for the hook. I'm looking for the one pen that holds everything together. Then I can go forward. But I got to live with it for a long time before it pops up. And then I'm able to structure the sermon around it and come deliver it. There have been more than one time that I've delayed a sermon for years. Because I was still living with it and I wasn't learning enough yet. It hadn't yet spoken to me. The scripture is so important that God says focus on it. Focus on what's real and important. I know what the world's like. The world's glittery. It's noisy. It's the little kid on the playground always screaming, look at me, look at me, look at me. That's the world. And so we look at the world and we have our American idols that nobody can remember their name after a year. And most of them don't have a record contract yet. And most of them never will. Because most of them weren't that good anyway. They just sang the songs the judges told them to sing in the way they were told to sing it. Which makes you wonder, what's the value in being an idol if you have to do what everybody tells you to do? But we don't think about that. We just think, ooh, it's on again. Again, no sin in watching the show. But there is a sin in not turning it off sometimes and listening to God. Focus on what's real, on what's eternal. And it can also direct your steps during the day. You see, we're to be actively meditating, not sitting on a mountain somewhere. Early Christians, there were some of them that felt that God had called them to the desert to be in a cave all by themselves all their lives and just think about God. God didn't ask you to do that. He wants you to form relationships with people, to bring justice to the world. He wants you to bring peace to the world. You've got to be involved with the world. There were even a certain subsection of these monks that would live all of their life on a platform on top of a high pole. And they thought that's what God wanted them to do. It's not in the Bible. He wants you to meditate as you walk. Do you remember what was read? Deuteronomy 6. As you're moving about, you meditate on these. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. That's a good place to get started. What does God want you to think about while you're walking around? Whatever's true and just and pure and lovely and whatever's noble, He wants you to think on that kind of thing. Whenever I do classes for young men in particular, I talk to them about how to look at and treat women, girls, women, whatever stage they're at. And we spend a lot of time on this. And I said, you need to have a leash law for your head. And Philippians 4 verse 8 is that. And it talks about, all right, this thought I'm having, is that a pure thought? Is this a noble thought I'm having? Is this a good thought? Is this a good report? Is this the kind of thought everybody thinks is a good thought? If not, I need to jerk that leash back. I need to get the hedge up. Now, the fact is that the world's always going to be out there throwing thoughts over the hedge. But you got to throw them back. There's no sin in having one thrown in. There's a great sin in making it a pet. Throw it out. Meditate on good things. It's an active thing. But most of us have lost the practice of meditation, especially in the Western world, because it takes time. Anybody in here sit around at night going, I have so much extra time? Do you? We are an active congregation. There is no question about it. You look at all of our ministries, you look at all the things we're doing, we're very active. But there are a lot of things we're not doing. And so people will come to me sometimes and they'll say, we actually need another class here, or we need another thing in our worship here, or we need a special event here. And I'll say, we could have it, but we need somebody to champion it. We need somebody to take it, get their team, do their volunteers, and run it. And I almost never hear that person say, well, I'll do it. Sometimes, but almost never. The reason? They're busy. Can you understand that? They've got kids. They've got school. They've got work. They've got, I don't know, shows to watch. No, that's, I'm sorry. No, they're legitimately busy. Some of you have two jobs and small children. You're busy. And in our culture, we don't appreciate people who sit quietly and talk to God. We look upon that as unproductive. God says, no, you will not be productive. Look at Psalm 1. You will not be productive. You will not grow and prosper unless you sit and listen to God for a while. Also, this goes against our instant culture mindset. We wouldn't mind finding complete fulfillment in Christ if we could do it in 30 seconds in a microwave. But whenever you have to work on it over decades, isn't there an easier way? Don't we love Christian books that give you a list? 10 steps to Christian happiness. Yes! 5 steps to a happy marriage. Count me in. God says, no, it's a little harder than that. And also, this is a weird one. Meditation goes against our consumerist mindset and not the way you think. Have you ever done one of those things that'll say, read through the Bible in a year, they'll pass out the little papers for churches, right? It's a good thing, it's a proper thing, do that thing. But that's not meditation. You can't do it that fast and meditate. Meditation's taking one word, one phrase, maybe a verse, or a piece of a story. It's not, I read 4 chapters today, I meditated. Not even if you were thinking about God while you read. That's just reading. Look at it this way. Kids, it's going to be very hard to understand this. Talk to the old people. Those of you who had sweethearts in World War II, the Korean War, or Vietnam, do you remember what it was like when you got the letter? Now, whether you were in service and you sent it home, or whether you were here and you sent it over there, do you remember what happened when you got that letter? You tore open the envelope. And you read it as fast as you could. Then you went back and you read it as slowly as you could. Again and again and again. Until you knew it and it was written on your heart. Read the Bible fast. Sure, absolutely. But then you go back and you read it slow. You have time. It's called the rest of your life. Read it very slowly. For example, take one proverb. Yeah, I love the book of Proverbs. It's like training wheels for meditators. Because you can't read a chapter in Proverbs because it's all about everything. You have to read one verse at a time. So you, and sometimes even half a verse. Because it's like, I have a thought. No, this thought too. So you have to you just take a line and then you murmur it. You keep it in your head. Or one part of a story. In other words, not the story of Ruth. Boy, that Ruth story is a good story. Yes, it is. But don't focus on that. That's not meditation. Focus on, for example, what was it like that walk from her homeland to Israel with Naomi? I mean, we often sweeten this, you know, your gods will be my God, and I will lie where you lie, and your people will be my people, and all this other stuff, right? We often sweeten this and make this really cool. But this was a hard walk. Walk with this woman. She's going from a place where she had no protection, rather a place where she had protection, to no protection. She's leaving her people. She's leaving everything she knows, even her language. And the lady who's taking her there is mad at God and not a pleasant individual. And I know in Women's Day, Naomi's always sweet. You ever read the story? Naomi, when she gets to her home village, they say, we didn't recognize you. You look so bad. And she goes, this is what God did to me. That's who Ruth walked with. Can you walk with her on that walk all day long? Think about it. What would that be like? All of a sudden, God's going to pop up people in your life that are like Ruth. Because you were looking for them because you've been thinking about it. And here's an opportunity for service and blessing and grace. You would not see them had you not been meditating as you walked. That's what it does. If you're thinking about Jesus by the shore, did you hear the waves? Did you smell the fish? Did you smell the people? Where was the sun? Was it a sunny day? Was it hot? What were the people's faces like? I don't think you can understand the Sermon on the Mount unless you look around at the crowd. Think about it. These are people that have approached God one way for 1,000 years. And Jesus looks at them and quotes from their scripture and says, you have heard it said, but I say to you. You would have seen frowns. You would have heard, who does he think he is? That's our Bible. God said that. And he's saying, no, I'm saying something different. You would turn, look at the crowd. Some of them are leaving. And then you won't be surprised at churches where some people leave. Because that's the way it's always been. And others will come. And some who left will come back. Some of you left and came back. I left God and came back. We understand it because we've been through Matthew 5 and we saw the crowd. That's meditation. Some of you are afraid. They'll say, every time I try to think about one thing, I start thinking about other stuff. Yeah, we've been trained to do that. We have. People say, I'm really good at multitasking. Actually, hate to break it to you, and I know you think you're the exception. You're not. Every study we've ever done has shown people are really horrible at multitasking, especially those who think they're best at it. You're really horrible. Oh, you're not multitasking. You're doing one thing at a time very briefly. You can't focus on more than one thing. God says, get your mind right. Put it right. Think of one thing and walk with that. So if you're trying to do that and another thought pops in, don't get mad at yourself. Acknowledge that thought. Give it to God. Get the first thought back and move on. After a while, you'll train your brain to do it. After a while, it takes patience. By the way, you keep doing this, you will find that the scripture starts teaching you in a new way. Active meditation is really what we're going for here. Christian meditation is not about sitting in a room all your life. It's about, as Scott read, on the road, on the way, movement. Think about it. What would happen in your life if before you left your house in the morning, you didn't say, all right, God, I got to go to work now. Instead, you would say, here I am to worship. This is what my life is going to be, Father. Today, I'm going to worship you every step of the way. What would your life be like? Would that change any of your day? Before you got behind the wheel of a car? Before you turned on your television? Remember Job? He said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a pretty girl with lust. Would it change the way you looked at things? What covenants have you made with your eyes before the event occurs? You know, if you're constantly caught, oh no, what should I do now? That's a problem. You're supposed to be ready before you got there. Prepare yourself with meditation. What if you found a way to focus? Now, Focusing can be all kinds of different ways. Place yourself in the presence of God. How do you do that? For years, I carried a little cheap aluminum stamped cross in my pocket because I have a habit of standing with my hands in my pocket. My dad tried to break me of it for 16 years, so I left home. Right, wasn't the only reason. And it is true that they moved and I didn't know where. But still the point is that I still keep my hands in my pockets a lot. And I would feel the cross when I reached in. And I'd reach in to buy things. In Britain, you buy a lot of stuff with coins because you got a pound coin, you got a 2 pound coin, they don't weigh that much, by the way. That's the name of our currency. And so as you pull it out, you don't open your wallet as often as you do here. You pull out change. You pull it out and there's that cross laying right there. I had to do that because I sometimes have the attention span of a ferret on its third cup of espresso. And I need to be, I need to remember this. Some of you tried to do this with a little tattoo on your wrist or something. Now, I don't want to do that because I want to think of Jesus, but I don't want the pain. You know, that's all right. I'm not going to do that. But, and plus, with you, when you get older, the tattoo moves. You know, so you, it was on the wrist, now you have to look down here. I don't want to do that, right? I want to find another way to do it. Some of you, it might be you need to put something on your screensaver. Now, there's a sentence that wasn't used 30 years ago in sermons. But you might need something on your screensaver because it's kind of hard to turn off the cross thing and then look at something you're not supposed to. A screensaver on a phone. Think about what you're saying. Think about the other person is a created being of God, a daughter or a son of God. But you might need more, and that's fine. You might need paintings. You might need candles. You might need a special place in your home to get yourself centered. But once you do that, find your thought for the day. Focus maybe on one fruit of the Spirit, on one discipline, on one part of one story, whatever it is. And ask God to place you in that story that day so that you will be an agent of Christ to anybody who needs that part of the story today. There are a lot of things I say before I leave the house. To be fair, sometimes I forget. But as soon as I remember, one of the things I will often say when I'm practicing the presence of God is to say, all right, don't let me go where you're not. And help me be an answer to somebody's prayer today. And I can't do that unless I'm constantly focusing and murmuring something about God, the story, so I can be a part of the story. I want to be a part of the faith journey. So I've got to know the story. I've got to live with the story. Brendan, would you bring your team back up? And I appreciate the team as well. We applauded Brendan. It's a skeleton team because we have so many that are out at other churches. But they did an excellent job too, and we're proud of them. Yeah, that's right. What is filling you up? You're full of something, so what are you filled up with? The scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, let's finish it again. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking? What's going on? Wouldn't it be better to meditate on the words of God and on that law meditate day and night so he fills us up and he blesses us? The only way I know of to do this is to present yourself to God and say, God, here I am to worship. As Isaiah said, Father, here I am. Send me. Are you ready to do that? If so, let's stand and present ourselves to God.